Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau. I am your host. You can find me at joyfulvegan.com. As you know, this podcast is listener supported. So if it's something you value and you'd like to enjoy some perks, please head over to joyfulvegan.com or patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau. And if you're a listener on Apple Podcasts, you can become a subscriber there, get bonus episodes. You can do it in addition to the Patreon support or instead of. Thank you so much for your support, for subscribing and for listening. And thanks for leaving ratings and reviews, even though no one's done that in the last, 6 months. Hi, everyone. Today's episode is Holy Knots, Pretzels and the Easter Season. I don't know. I could have called this anything. I was going to call it Easter Pretzels. In the end, I might call it something completely different, which you'll see reflected in the title of this episode before you even listen. So I hope you're doing well. I am really excited about this episode because it combines two of my favorite things, food and history. And we're going to talk about the origins of pretzels and how they relate to the, in this case, if you're listening before April, upcoming Easter holiday. But in general, you're just going to get to know how this amazing, delicious, salty food came to be. Before I get started, I want to remind you that we have confirmed both our Northern Italy trip in June and our Rwanda trip in November. So if you'd like to join me, there are spots left. They are both spectacular trips. That's why we keep doing them again and again. And make sure that you're on the mailing list because we just had our meeting for our 2025 trips and we've got some pretty awesome things in the works. So go over to joyfulvegan.com, check out the trips we've got going on, book your spot in either of the trips that are available right now, and just make sure you're on the mailing list to hear about future trips. Now on to our topic, pretzels. Those delicious, pillowy, delicious, salty, I'm going to keep saying delicious, sometimes crunchy, salty snacks. They have a rich history. And wouldn't you know, the history goes back hundreds of years and with a strong association with Easter, or more specifically, with Lent. Now, I know I've done a number of episodes on Lent. Whether or not you're Christian, whether or not you celebrate Lent, you would have heard of Lent, you would have heard of Easter. And I keep talking about these holidays because I really want to emphasize the fact that so many of our plant-based food traditions have become forgotten in favor of this emphasis on daily consumption of animal products, as if that's how we've always eaten, you know, every single day, eating meat, dairy, and eggs. It's not. It's not. And so this episode is in the tradition of emphasizing the fact that people abstained from animal products throughout a huge portion of the year throughout history, especially when we're talking about medieval Christian Europe. And Europe in the Middle Ages was Christian. It just was. I know things are very different today than they were then. But at the time in medieval Europe, the Christian church played a huge role in the daily lives of, well, everyone, especially peasants. And their diets were dictated not just by the turning of the seasons, because most people were in agriculture. And so most of them were farmers. And so their lives really were dictated by the change of the seasons. But they were also dictated by the liturgical calendar, that is the calendar of the church. And so in medieval Christianity, there were several periods of fasting and abstinence throughout the year. And I've talked about this in different episodes. So when I say fasting, that doesn't just mean, I think when we think of it today, we think of just water fasting or, you know, juice fasting. It doesn't necessarily have that connotation. Back then, it didn't mean that you weren't eating food. It really meant that you weren't eating animal products. And so go listen to the episodes I have on Advent, and I think I have another episode on Lent and Carnival, which is actually a bonus episode for people who are supporters, because it indicates, it demonstrates, it proves that there was a huge number of days throughout the year that humans were not eating animal products for a good portion of our history. Specifically Lent, that was the longest and most significant fasting period. That is the 40-day period before Easter. And traditionally, Christians abstained from eating meat, dairy, and eggs. Advent was the period before Christmas, also a time of abstaining from meat, dairy, and eggs. And then there's many days throughout the year, Ember Days and other observances and feast days, they're called, vigils and commemorations throughout the liturgical calendar that involved abstaining from meat, dairy, and eggs. So Obviously, it varied according to the time. I'm talking about the Middle Ages, which spans many hundreds of years. And of course, we have different Christian sects throughout the centuries. But the idea is that traditionally speaking, people abstain from eating meat, dairy, and eggs. And so when people cry tradition when they encounter vegans or vegetarians who they believe are shirking tradition, because I don't know, we're not eating lamb or painting chickens' eggs, right? During this time, for instance. And the obvious retort is, which tradition? And when? And which tradition are you talking about during what time period? Like, we can point to a huge time in human history when it was traditional to not eat animal products, as well as we can point to times, mostly recent times, when it's been traditional to eat animal products. So it really is a matter of cherry picking. We cherry pick all the time which traditions we uphold, depending on different factors. And that's what I'm trying to demonstrate here. We can easily point to the tradition of not eating animal products during Lent, during Advent, during other times of the year, as much as we can point to the tradition of eating animal products, which now, unfortunately, has become every day. So where's the ritual in that? Where's the tradition in that? It's just we eat animal products every single day, and it's wreaking havoc on our earth, and it's wreaking havoc on our health, and it's wreaking havoc on the animals. And what can I say? We can do a lot to curtail that. So let's talk about a food that is no longer in our cultural memory of being associated with Lent or Easter or spring or religion at all. And that is the pretzels. I love pretzels so much. It's really the reason I don't have pretzels in the house ever because I love them, and so does David. Oh gosh, I have to make sure he listens to this episode and he's going to hear me say how much I love pretzels. Fine, you can bring some pretzels in once in a while, but not every day. Pretzels, I'm thinking of pretzels with peanut butter. Those are the hard pretzels and the crispy, crunchy pretzels. But those soft pretzels go back hundreds of years. Goes back 1,400 years to around the year 610 in the Common Era, 610. This is a legend that a monk who had a very playful sense of humor, who was in a monastery in northern Italy, rewarded students who were learning their prayers with twisted pieces of leftover bread. And those twisted pieces resembled arms crossed in prayer. And so, allegedly, these treats were known as pretiola, which is Latin for little rewards. And there were also like three holes in the pretzel, which symbolized the religious trinity. Probably a legend. Probably not true. The accuracy of this story is much debated, and I have told you before, especially as it relates to etymology, but really history in general, if there's a cute little story that's wrapped up with a neat little bow, be suspicious of it. Be very suspicious of it. However, the term pretzel can be traced back to the Catholic Church. Now, some scholars suggest that the word didn't come from pretiola, but came from an old German word, Brezzitella, which doesn't sound German, that derived from Latin brachiatus. And if you know your Romance languages, you would know that brachia, meaning arm, refers to the fact that it does look like two folded arms in prayer, at least two folded arms. So brachiatus. So brachia. So I have an entire episode in the etymology podcast about the vowel, about the consonant change from B's to P's. So brachia in Latin would have eventually become pretzel. So bretzel in German would have become pretzel in English. That's a whole other story. But the point is, that is the possible origin of the word, referring to the fact that the pretzel is twisted like two folded arms, possibly in prayer. Now, it can be verified that during the Middle Ages, monks did distribute pretzels to the poor, serving both as a religious symbol, so these arms in prayer, and as a source of sustenance. It's like my favorite source of sustenance. So it was linked with fulfillment and good fortune and prosperity. And so pretzels gained popularity during the Middle Ages, but especially during Lent, because they were made without any animal products. They were made without eggs and dairy, obviously, and meat. And you would know this if you ever made pretzels from scratch. And in the Easter bundle, because I wanted to make sure these were in the bundle that is associated with this holiday, you can find my awesome recipe for homemade pretzels. They're so easy to make. They're a yeasted bread recipe. That's basically how you make pretzels. And it entails boiling the pretzels once you shape them. It's so satisfying to make pretzels from scratch. But of course, you can get pretzels on the street in New York and elsewhere. And I'll talk more about that. Sometimes today, people brush the very tops of the pretzels at the very end after they're baked with dairy butter, which is not traditional. That's not traditional. And I'm demonstrating that it's not traditional because this was a time for people to be able to eat. Lent was a time that people could eat pretzels because for the very reason they didn't have animal products. And so that's why they're linked with Lent. And so they became symbols of luck. And interestingly, they may have become symbols of prosperity. So there is this, 12th century book called Hortus Deliciarum. And that means Garden of Delights. Deliciarum, Hortus, Garden of Delights in Latin. And it was a medieval manuscript that served as an educational tool for young novices at the convent, young nuns. And it is the first known encyclopedia authored by a woman. So it was Herod of Landsberg at the Hohenberg Abbey in Alsace. We have not been there, even though we've been to Alsace several times. So that's where this abbess was. It's where this head of the abbey was. And it was completed in 1185, and it was celebrated for its illuminations. If you've ever seen an illuminated manuscript, that just means a very ornately illustrated manuscript. And of course, they're using all these incredibly gorgeous colors. You'll have seen an illuminated manuscript if you've been to the British Library in London, etc. So it compiled 12th century knowledge and poems and illustrations and music from classical and Arab writings. So you've got this just incredible compendium of information. And it included Herod's poems set to music, addressed to the nuns, because it was the whole idea was to initiate nuns in this learning. And sadly, during the Prussian War in 1870, during the German siege of Strasbourg, it was destroyed. The manuscript was destroyed in 1870. However, parts of the manuscript had already been copied, and so the manuscript itself has been able to be reconstructed. And in this manuscript, there is a painting that is believed to be the world's first depiction of a pretzel. Of a pretzel. And so you have this scene, which is clearly a banquet of affluent people. There's different theories as to who exactly they are. I won't get into that. Doesn't matter. But the idea is that it is a banquet for the rich, and the pretzel is there on the table. And some people say, well, maybe the pretzel was drawn in later because after the copies, and we don't think that was in the original. It doesn't matter. It's there. And that is the first depiction we have of a pretzel in this 12th century manuscript. And it was there to, this whole painting was to demonstrate how rich the banquet was, and there's the pretzel. And so moving on into the 16th century, so that was the 12th century. So pretzels have been around for a while. I mean, they're really a kind of bread. It's not surprising, right? It's just a kind of bread. But moving on into the 16th century, pretzel bakers, I wish they had a name. They should have a name. Maybe they do. Let me know if you know if pretzel bakers have their own name. They played a heroic role in saving Vienna from the Ottoman Turks, who sieged Vienna in 1529. So apparently, as legend has it, while making pretzels, the monks, and they would have been underground, they would have been in, these kind of ovens, in these, kind of cellars. The monks who were making these pretzels overheard enemy plans, and they promptly alerted city leadership, thwarting the attack. And in gratitude, the Austrian emperor granted the pretzel bakers their coat of arms, which features angry lions clutching a pretzel. I don't know. That's a whole different story. But what's really interesting is that, and I'm really not just saying this, I swear to you, I am not just saying this. The photo I had already pulled out in anticipation of writing and recording this episode was of me eating a pretzel the size of my head in Vienna. So it's really cool. Because, I mean, Vienna's amazing. Besides the fact that it was the coldest I've ever been in my life, I'm just going to put that aside. I've talked about that before. I'm never going back to Vienna in the wintertime. But what's really cool is, I mean, this was the history of Europe is just unbelievable, right? But we were in Vienna, and one of the things you can see when you're in Vienna, there are a lot of depictions of and evidence of the invasion of the Ottoman Turks. And one of the pieces of evidence of the attempted siege, the attempted invasion of Vienna by the Ottoman Turks, is a stone, which is basically a cannon stone, this cannonball, that is lodged, and now it's just displayed, in St. Stephen's Cathedral. St. Stephen's Cathedral is this massive cathedral. It just towers over the entire city. I think it's the tallest cathedral in Austria, and it's gorgeous and stunning. And there's stone balls all over the place because the Ottomans were just pummeling the city with cannons. Now, and we were there, and that's when we were eating our pretzels. Now, the cannonballs are from the 1683 attack. That's when the Ottoman Turks came back and tried to invade the city. Also, to their dismay, they were also pushed back, also because of help from some other countries. But the point is, in 1529, when the Ottoman Turks tried to invade Vienna, it was the pretzel bakers that alerted the authorities to the invasion and saved the city. Pretzel bakers. I love it. So that is the history of the pretzel, for the most part, in Europe, as it relates to monks and Lent. However, for those of you who are in the United States, you know that we associate pretzels with Pennsylvania, and they became really popular in the United States, brought over to the United States from German immigrants. So German immigrants brought pretzel making traditions to the United States, especially in Pennsylvania, in the 1700s, and they became a popular economical bar snack. And so that's one of the reasons you have, I mean, this would have been happening in Germany as well already, but that's why you have this image of a pretzel and a beer when we think of kind of German food. It's kind of part of this whole Gemütlichkeit feeling I've talked about before, where you just are in this cozy space and there are fires lit and it's cold outside and you're warm inside and there's a warm glow inside and there's a warm glow inside your body too because you're drinking beer and you are eating pretzels. And so the pretzel became this like economic, salty, easy to serve bar food. And that's how we have it associated with pretty much with pub food. And so it lasts until this day. So pretzels have been around for a very long time, very interestingly, became popularized during the time of Lent, especially because there were no animal products in them. So what I want to do is encourage you all to alter your Easter traditions. Obviously, you're probably already altering your Easter traditions and not painting chickens' eggs and eating chickens' eggs, but I'm going to put a call out there for everyone to bring back the Easter pretzel. Okay, there's no such thing as the Easter pretzel. It was during Lent, but still, how much fun is that? I am going to be making pretzels for our Easter celebration. We will not be here at the time because we will be in Japan. However, I am having a redux, an Easter celebration redux, which will be, by the way, the 1-year anniversary since I broke my ankle, but it is pretty much healed at this point. And so I am vowing not to break anything, but I will be making pretzels. And so if you're interested in my recipe for homemade pretzels, and you can get lots of other recipes, go check out the Easter bundle, the Easter recipe bundle at joyfulvegan.com. And in addition to the pretzels, you're also going to get something else you would have seen me celebrate, promote, demonstrate was my focaccia art, my garden art, because I served that for last year. for last year's Easter celebration. And you're also going to get sweet pea guacamole, confetti macaroni salad, fresh cucumber salad, strawberry bruschetta, spring vegetable risotto, apricot lentil stew, French onion pie, carrot cupcakes, lavender tea cakes, and lavender lemonade. So it's all about celebrating the food of the season, the spring colors, spring vegetables, spring fruit even. And I invite you to go to joyfulvegan.com, click on recipes, and go grab your Easter recipes. I also have Passover recipes and other holidays as well. So check out those bundles. In the meantime, let me know what you think. Let me know if you're going to be serving Easter pretzels. And let me know if you like pretzels as much as I do. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau for The Animals. See you soon.